Now, have you ever felt overwhelmed by the choices before you, unsure of which path or direction to take? It may have been a major life decision like a career change, immigration, or committing to a person whom you'd like to marry and build a lifelong relationship with. Or it may have been smaller decisions like where to go for dinner, balancing work and family, or whether to take a new job that had been offered to you by your close friend. Whether in small moments or in major life situations, we all desire clarity for our choices and decisions, and we long for wisdom, we long for prudence, and we long for discernment to direct our steps and walk forward securely. And the passage we have in front of us this morning presents us with an interesting image where wisdom is standing in the streets as a personified woman. And she's calling people to listen to her and respond to her speech. This chapter is wisdom's first appeal, or the urgent call from the heart of our God. And you would understand why we could say it like that if you look at the vivid picture of wisdom standing at the crossroads of life. This is a call to action and a warning to our souls. And it is a wake-up call to our minds and a plea to our understanding. This gives both comfort in God's care and conviction in our calling. And so today we'll heed three important points that arise from this profound text. We'll note three important points that emerge from this precious text in the first chapter of the book of Proverbs, and we'll conclude that God is calling you to come to Jesus Christ to receive his wisdom. Christ is the person of wisdom who not only has wisdom, but who is the wisdom itself, and so you are invited to respond to his call for the sake of your life. And not only for your life right now, but also for the life to come. So the first point we want to take note of this morning is that God's wisdom offers guidance to everyone who listens. God's wisdom offers guidance to everyone who listens to his word. And it means that God is not partial or elitist, nor is his truth reserved for people with advanced degrees. A wisdom is available to every single person, including myself, including you, and including all the people out there, not only in Australia, but above and beyond our land. And it is not exclusive to scholars, nor is it only saved for billionaires who know the intricacies of the world and write books about them. It's a call that goes out to every single person, regardless of age, background, or education. But fools refuse it, and they neglect its power because they don't see where it comes from, what it does, and where it goes in the grand scheme of things. And so verse 20 and 21 tell us, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. Wisdom is here obviously personified as a woman, calling out in public and pleading in earnest. And she's not whispering in private corners or addressing a select group of audience, but she's in the open place, she's in the public squares, and she's at the city gates where everyone goes and gathers freely. This is vivid imagery, and it's an animating picture if you notice the details. And it shows that God's truth is not restricted to closed doors, but it is shared openly with urgency and clarity for anyone who desires discernment for a wise life and a better future. And in the ancient world, the public square and the city gates were places of major influence where decisions were made and ideas were freely shared. The gates were the centers of communal life, and it is in these places that wisdom is calling out to attract ordinary people. Imagine yourself raising your voice at Queen Victoria Market in the CBD area, just as an example, and think about how noticeable you will be and how the crowd will look at you. The voice of God is not muted or timid, like a soft whisper in a noisy crowd, but it is loud, it is compelling, and it is clear. And they walk away from it. I mean, the fools walk away from it, and they refuse the wisdom that God gives to them, believing that it is useless, worthless, and meaningless for their lives in the present moment. And I would also add to that and say that the personification of wisdom is quite revealing, actually. Wisdom is not just a passive idea or an abstract concept, but it is an active, relational, and personal call. It is not just something to be understood or something to be examined, but it is something to be heeded, something to be followed, or something to be submitted to, just like you would respond to a mentor whom you trust with confidence and respect. Wisdom is presented as a person who calls out to people in an urgent manner and in a compassionate voice. And that is a powerful image that evokes seriousness, which expresses really well God's desire for every single individual. God desires that everyone seeks wisdom from him and respond to his word in faith and obedience. But fools neglect that, and they despise it, for they trust in themselves and only in their power. So in verse 23, we read, "Turn at my rebuke, surely I'll pour out my spirit on you. I'll make my words known to you." Again, wisdom is not simply offering advice or information every now and then, but she's offering a relationship based on a word and her spirit. She promises to pour out her spirit on those who listen and on those who will respond to her. And she promises to make her words known to them, suggesting that God changes people through the gift of understanding. God changes people through the gift of understanding. This is an offer that goes beyond mere knowledge, but it is an offer of change, relationship, and also intimacy. To listen to God is to receive someone who has a vested interest in you, and it is not purely about the consumption of information, but a communion with a living person, and not just with a random person, but with God, who is infinitely wise and loving in relation to you. So we look at our world now, and we know that we are constantly bombarded with countless opinions, advice, and information. You'll often find people expressing their ideas passionately on politics, religion, or the economy on the internet. And everywhere you look, somebody's telling you how to live, where to go, and what values you should embrace in living in this world. There's no shortage of voices that are competing for your attention, and there's no filter that distinguishes their thoughts or evaluates their ideas. The world right now seems like a marketplace of noise where wisdom should be discerned with the highest level of seriousness, and where truth has to be sought intentionally and carefully. But what's interesting is that we still feel unsure of what to do and how to live, even with all those advice or claims. And one of the reasons, I think, for that is that we are not paying enough attention to God's wisdom in the scriptures. Are you seeking God's truth and having it determine your life priorities? And are you listening to his word being declared in public places? And are you having a relationship with God, not just through your intuition or feelings, but through his word and through his Holy Spirit? When was the last time you read any devotional book on Proverbs, Job, or Ecclesiastes? And do you prioritize coming to places where the wisdom of God is proclaimed and expounded? The Word of God invites you with a conviction, invites you to live with a conviction that God has a genuine and sincere interest in you. And you should come to Him and to the right places for wisdom, for change, for happiness, and of course, for your righteousness. I remember watching a lawyer on YouTube some time ago, and I think I shared this before with you. Remember watching a lawyer sharing on YouTube who said that the only people who tend to stand next to defendants who go through really tough legal cases until the very, very end are actually their parents. And it is not even spouses, it is not even children, but parents who stay by their side until the very end. And if you know that God is more committed to you than any parent can do with their limited capacity or time, then you should trust Him more, then you should listen to Him more, and you should follow what He tells you to do, and do not do what He forbids in His Word. Our God sent Jesus to change you, to transform you, and to protect you from dangers. And this Jesus is your advocate, who will stand with you and by you forever. And so if you want to be wise, if you want to live a good life as you ought to desire in Christ, well, trust Jesus and follow His Word and obey His Word and believe His promises and trust that His guidance will lead you to eternal blessings. His guidance and truth will lead you to eternal blessedness. Do not neglect that, but accept it, respond to it, and cherish it, and deepen the fellowship you have with God through His Word and His Spirit. Then the second point we'll focus on briefly is that ignoring God's wisdom leads to judgment. Ignoring God's wisdom surely leads to judgment, and this is an important point that all believers have to recognize, even as we approach this as believers in Christ. And so we turn to the passage and read verses 24 to 31, and I know it's a bit lengthy, but I want to read this to you again because it can be read like a lament from God or His judgment calls, as it were. And so let's read it carefully again and think about the heart of God expressed through this passage. And so verses 24 to 31. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have naught of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. Now, obviously, this is a very sobering message, and we are again invited to imagine a situation where a woman of wisdom calls out, but the people would not listen. They reject her invitation, they mock her warnings, and they choose their paths apart from God's wisdom. In verse 26, it says that she will laugh at your calamity and mock when your terror comes. And these might be a bit scary for us to process, but they carry the weight of truth in that they show us the basic pattern of reality, that rejection of wisdom leads to a judgment that is irreversible and definite. Rejection of wisdom leads to a judgment that is irreversible and definite. We cannot avoid this reality because it's woven into the every fabric of human life. And also in verse 31 we read, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. the results of ignoring God are not simply a form of divine punishment, but the natural fruit of the many choices we make. When we refuse God's word, we end up walking down paths that lead to destruction and that lead to a dismay. And being filled to the full with their own fancies here teaches us that the rejection of God's truth allows human pride to consume the soul entirely. This is a scary reality, and this is a confronting truth. And this is connected to the fear of God that we read last week from verse 7. And again, here we learn that without the fear of the Lord our God, we will surely die as a consequence of our foolishness. Without the fear of the Lord our God, we will surely die as a consequence of our foolishness. And that's why we need to come to a book like this from time to time and learn that wisdom leads us to eternal life, but foolishness will lead us to destruction. And here is where we should pause and reflect on the gospel of Christ. And the good news of the gospel tells us that God has made a way for us to escape that very divine judgment. In his life and death, Christ took upon himself the judgment that we all deserve that's incurred from our sin. And he rose again from the dead, and he showed us the way to God's heavenly kingdom, full of glory, full of light. God has been calling sinners to Christ Jesus for redemption, but so many close their ears and refuse his call. And only when the path of life is marked by godly fears will we reap eternal fruit that is promised in Christ Jesus. Only when the path of life is marked by godly fears will we reap eternal fruit that glorifies our Lord Jesus Christ. And that fear of God is a gift from him, not our product. And we need to seek it, we need to pray for it, lest we fall into foolishness. We need to seek wisdom and the fear of God, because it is a gift that comes from him. And the final point we come to in this passage is that those who follow God's wisdom will find safety and security. Those who follow God's wisdom will find safety and security. And these two words are chosen deliberately, I think, because they reflect something strong and enduring that is ours in Christ. And if you can be honest with yourself for a brief moment and do a quick self-survey on yourself, how would you rate the level of safety you're feeling right now? And on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the experience of, you know, safety in your life at this stage? You can think about it in everyday terms, like home safety, the safety from car accidents, or even the safety from your enemies or opposition. There is financial safety too, and you can also think about the national safety of Australia. And so on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your sense of that in your life at this stage? And how content are you with the measures that are protecting you from dangers? And also on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the level of security in your life right now? Now, security may be similar to safety, but I think it points more to a sense of stability, which goes deeper than protection. And so how do you feel when the unexpected happens out of the blue? And how do you respond when uncertainties arise suddenly? When trials come your way, do you find yourself panicking and losing focus? And when life feels unstable, what do you do? And do you come to God to regain peace? And so how do you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10? And while I cannot be absolutely certain of your answers, of course, I still carefully presume that deep inside you all desire a kind of stability that will last forever. I think we all have this longing for more security and safety, and that assumes that we feel dangers deep inside, and we all want something that's strong, enduring, and lasting, something that will secure us and protect us, not just right now, but also throughout eternity. So look at verses 32 and 33. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, but the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. The person who ignores God is described as simple and foolish. And the simple person here is someone who lacks discretion, while the fool is someone who has knowledge but rejects to act upon it. Like complacency, it's mentioned here, complacency. Both eventually face destruction, but the one who listens to God will find safety and security. Wisdom promises deliverance from harm and gives peace that no circumstance can disturb. And we learn that wisdom will lead us to security and safety, but foolishness, again, will lead us to destruction. So allow me to be a bit more practical now and suggest three simple steps as we come to a close this morning. Of course, there's no shortcut to growth, and there is no instant formula for making all things stable in life, but there are basics that Christians can still practice, and I think that doing the basics really well is one of the wisest things we can do to grow in our Lord Jesus. And actually, I'm sure you know this person, a very famous basketball player named Kobe Bryant, who died due to an accident a number of years ago. Kobe Bryant is known for saying, "Never get bored with the basics." I love that phrase, "Never get bored with the basics." And I think that's true of our Christian life as well, that we should attend to the basics over and over again and never dismiss them, because the power of God is communicated or enabled through the basics. And so, first of all, let's listen to God's word. Listen to God's word, even when you are hearing it through human servants. You have to discern between what is surely God's will and what is suggested as a human opinion. And you have to remember that not everything I say behind the pulpit is the infallible word of our God, but some things I say are rooted in divine truth. Not everything we share will be God's inspired word and his infallible wisdom, but some things we'll say will be grounded in his holy truth. And we need to develop the habit of pushing through the words and discerning the will of God for our wisdom, for our life, for our godliness in Christ. Let God be the main focus and the primary pursuit of your spiritual life in Jesus. And it doesn't mean that you should start doubting human teachers, but it means that you should press on and press further and think about God, even as you're growing under the ministry of faithful ministers. Think about God and seek his wisdom and press through the human words to discover what is truly divine. And second, trust in God's promises. Trust in the promises of God, much more so than you would trust in the words of many experts. The promise in verse 33 is that those who listen to God will be secure and without fear of evil. And it assures us that God is with us no matter what happens and no matter what comes our way. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that is your foundation. That is the foundation of your security and safety. And that's your hope for the future. That's your hope for the future. And your life is built on the promises of God. Believe that. Trust the promises of God and follow his guidance, not just now, but forever. And just again, believe the sure promise that Paul gives us, that the love of God will not be separated from whatever he does in his life. And third, act on what you learn. Act on what you learn about God and Jesus. True wisdom is not just knowing what is right, but also doing what is right. And the book of Proverbs reminds us here that complacency is a feature of a foolish person. Walking in God's ways will bring you happiness, but sometimes it can give you tiredness as well. But you should continue. You should keep going, and you should persevere in your faith in Christ and use your struggles to think about Jesus and his perfect obedience. What you cannot act on, Christ fulfilled as your Savior. And what you have neglected to act on, Christ accomplished on your behalf. Jesus is your Savior, and he is your perfect example. And so act on what you learn about God and the life of the Lord Jesus, and trust him, imitate him, and rejoice in him, and follow his commands to grow in godliness. So as we close today, I want to confirm that walking in God's wisdom should be life's greatest delight. The wisdom from heaven is a gift from above, and a path that leads to God is a way that flows with love. In Christ, our hope is firm and true, and in the Holy Spirit, our safety is sure and new. The Father speaks through the Son, and we hear his voice as people united as one. And the Spirit will be ours until the cosmic battle is won, because in Jesus Christ, our victory has already begun. Be a person of insight, be a man of understanding, and be a woman of profound spiritual discernment. And be curious not only about the ways in which this current generation works, but also about the ways in which God works in Jesus Christ, for the world groaning for wisdom, and for the glorious world to come. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again that you have gathered us in this place to worship you and to be encouraged by your holy word. Father, we pray towards the end of this year that you would grant us more willingness to seek wisdom from you in the new year. And as we look back and evaluate how we live throughout this year, create in us a longing for more wisdom, because we want to live in wisdom as we walk forward in Christ. Father, we also pray that you would protect some of us who are traveling elsewhere during this season. And we pray that you would be very close to us as we share the gospel with friends and families as opportunities arise. So, Father, we thank you for this time of the past week or so as we devoted to learning more about wisdom. And so we pray that you would give us wisdom and desire to grow more in it. So, Father, we thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.